This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark and chapter 4, which is found on page 1005. That's Mark chapter 4, found on page 1005. And we're going to be reading from verse 1 through to verse 34. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise they may turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they do have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first by the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, He explained everything. Amen.
Well, thank you, Matt, and please keep that open. My name's John, if you haven't met me before. I'm one of the staff here. And in the last couple of, this week and last week, we've been looking at Mark chapter 4. And there's loads packed in there. We're not going to look at everything again today, but last week we looked at the parable of the sower and thought about how we listen to Jesus' words. And today we're going to look at the three parables. You probably picked up that there's a seed theme in there, what those parables teach us about sharing Jesus' words. But before we come to that, let's pray. Our Father, we pray that this morning we would have ears to hear what Jesus has to say. Please open our ears and our hearts so that these words that are spoken for us would go in and make us like the good soil, so that those words go deep, they do find a root, and they grow and overcome every obstacle and produce fruit in our lives. We pray that you would help us to see reality and to trust your truth as you speak to us this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I begin, I just want to introduce you to a few people. The first is Sarah. Sarah used to be eager to share her faith with others. As she went off to university, she was excited about having the opportunity to share the gospel with those that she was going to meet. But now she's in her third year and she feels pretty discouraged. She's prayed, she's shared, she's invited people to events and to church, but she's seen nothing change at all. People just aren't interested. And she's wondering what she's doing wrong. And there's Paul. He's been praying for his wife for years now. When he became a Christian all those years ago, he was hopeful that she would believe soon. But now, 20 years on, still sees no change. He's beginning to give up. Why won't God save her? And then Bob and Heather, home group leaders, for 5 years now. At first they loved it, but now they don't. And they're wondering what they're really achieving by meeting together each week. Attendance is patchy. And as they work hard to prepare the studies, it seems like the same issues and pastoral situations just keep on cropping up. They feel like what they're contributing to God and his work is so small and so insignificant. And they're thinking of asking to step down. Now, I made these stories up, but they could easily be true. And I'm sure perhaps in some ways you identify with all or some of them. It's easy, as we share Jesus' word with other people, to become discouraged and to feel like giving up. Just like Sarah, we face negative responses or no responses. Just like Paul, we wonder if anything's going to happen at all. And like Bob and Heather, we feel like what we achieve seems so small, insignificant. What have we got to offer to God? It's easy to be discouraged when we share Jesus' words. And Jesus knew that would be true. That's why he gives us Mark 4. In our verses today, as Jesus himself has been getting increasing opposition, he's preparing his disciples for when they're going to share the word with others. He's teaching them what to expect as they were going to go out and speak to the world about what he has done. And he knows that for them it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tempting for them to be discouraged. But in these verses, Jesus gives them what they need to carry on, to keep on sowing his words, to scatter the seed, no matter what they face and however they feel. And so this morning, as we look at these three parables, the sower, the seed, and the mustard tree, I hope that God is going to show us that it's never a waste of time to be sharing his words with others, and that they're always achieving the growth of his kingdom. And so, as we look at these parables, we're going to see three things. Three things Jesus tells us to do as we keep on sowing the word, as we share his word with others. And so the first one is this. As you sow Jesus' words, entrust the responses to God. Entrust the responses to God. That's what we see in the parable of the sower. Now, we looked at this in detail last week, but just to refresh it quickly for those that weren't here. Verse 3, Jesus tells this story. A farmer went out to sow his seeds. And as this farmer goes out and scatters his seed, he throws it on the path and on the ground, and it falls on different kinds of soil. And as it falls there, there are different results. Some seed grows and produces a crop. Other seed is lost, either eaten up by the birds or choked or scorched as it begins to grow. The sower gets mixed results. And as Jesus teaches this parable, he's given his disciples and us an important lesson. That when we share his words, this is what we're to expect. Verse 14, Jesus says when he interprets the parable that the seed is the word. His words shared with the world and the soils of the people who receive them. And so those who share those words with others should expect, like the farmer, to see mixed results. Different responses. Sometimes Jesus' words will fall on good soil. And sometimes they'll fall on bad soil. Sometimes there'll be fruit as people listen and believe. And other times, those words will be rejected and refused. Anyone who shares Jesus' words, he says, will expect to meet mixed results. And Jesus didn't just say this. He showed it. Just think about his ministry for a moment. Despite being the greatest teacher that this world has heard, Jesus experienced the reality of mixed responses. His words constantly divided people. We saw that last week. As he spoke, some listened, but many didn't. As he taught, some people believed, but many rejected him and tried to silence him for good. Jesus knew what it was to sow on the path and the thorns and the rocks. And although crowds flocked to hear him at parts of his ministry, at his death, he was deserted by everyone and betrayed by one of his closest friends. As he returned to heaven, 11 disciples, a handful of others, was all the good soil that he had to show for his ministry on earth. Jesus knew what it was to face good and bad responses to his words. And it was going to be the same for the disciples. As they began to spread the gospel, you just have to skim through the book of Acts in the Bible to see that as they scattered the words, they faced mixed responses. The same gospel message that was preached, in some brought joy and in others brought anger. In some, it produced repentance and faith as they believed it. But in others, it brought hostility and hatred. The disciples, too, would know what it was to feel good and bad responses to Jesus' words. And for us today, it's the same, isn't it? Although we'd love it that every time Jesus' words were spoken, people accepted them and agreed with them. It's not true. Although it'd be wonderful if every time we shared the gospel, people understood it and believed it like that. But the reality is that like Jesus and the disciples, we too see mixed responses that range at best from apathy as people find Jesus' words irrelevant to hostility as people find them offensive. And as we face responses like this, it's easy to become discouraged. It's easy to feel like something is going wrong. I remember when I started university, how hard this was to learn. I'd become a Christian 6 months before. I'd just come fresh from a summer of outreach. And I was excited to see what God would do. Convinced that everyone would believe. But at the end of my first year, I was starting to wonder what was going wrong. I'd taken people to events where they'd heard the gospel so clearly, but they walked out utterly unchanged. I had a friend who'd come on a Christianity Explored course. And got to the end and said, I believe this is all true, but I don't want to take it any further because Jesus asked too much. And a friend who, after saying they wanted to follow Jesus, inside 1 week, had turned back because of the pressure of their family. Now, I'm sure you can think of similar experiences. Maybe it's the colleagues who in 5, 10, 20 years have made no response. Perhaps family members who you pray for every day, but there's no change. When faced with responses like this, it is easy to become discouraged. We want to see fruit. And when we don't, we wonder what's gone wrong. And we ask, is it us? Are we sowing the wrong way? Is it the words? Has something gone wrong there? The message needs to be changed. Or maybe we just think, is it really worth it? When Jesus' words seem to face such poor response, is it really worth sharing them with the people who don't want to hear them? Well, as we're tempted to give up, as we're tempted to stop sowing, this parable gives us hope. Because Jesus calls us not to be discouraged, but to entrust the responses to God and to keep on sowing. And the way the parable ends gives us confidence as we sow the word. Look again at verse 8. This is what happens at the end. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And this is what we need to remember as we share Jesus' words with others. Yes, Satan is going to snatch some. Yes, persecution is going to come and temptation will try to choke them out. Yes, people are going to ignore them and reject them and discard them. That's reality. But despite this, there will be good soil. God will make sure that the seed of his word grows in people and that it will produce a harvest. And this is not just a small one. This is a huge one. This is above and beyond what has been sown. 30, 60, 100 times. And so as we share the word, yes, we need to be realistic. Jesus says there are going to be mixed responses. But we also need to be optimistic. Because just as surely as there will be bad responses, there will be good responses. There will be good soil. And the words will find it. Now at home, my son Daniel has got a favourite colouring book. And inside, if you open it up, every page looks the same. Blank and white. But if you take a brush and you put water on it and you paint on the page, the picture is revealed. Colours appear, lines appear, and you get a beautiful picture. Now, as Daniel paints on that page, he doesn't choose what colour goes where. He doesn't get to draw the picture and decide what happens where. Someone else has done that. He just reveals what has been painted. And in the same way, something like this is happening as we share Jesus' words. It's not our job to draw the picture, to decide how the harvest will come. That's God's job. And we must trust him to do it well. But our job is to paint on the water, wherever we can, however we can, to scatter his words and to wait to see what they reveal. Because we can have confidence that as we sow the word will find good soil. It will produce a crop. And our job is just to keep on sowing it, entrusting the responses to God. That's the first encouragement Jesus gives. But the second is that as we sow Jesus' words, we must also entrust the growth to God. And we see this in the second parable, the parable of the growing seeds. Let's read it again in verse 26. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." And although this parable starts with the farmer, it's not really about him. In this story, he only plays two roles. He's there at the start, verse 26. He scatters the seed on the ground. And then he turns up again in verse 29 as he gathers in the harvest. But for most of the story, the farmer does nothing. He just waits for the seed to grow. And as he waits, the farmer can't control how it will grow. Whether it's night and he's asleep on his bed doing nothing at all, or whether it's day and he's awake and he's working on the land. Verse 27, the seed sprouts and grows independently from him. He can't control when it will grow. He can't control how fast it will grow. But verse 28, all by itself, the soil produces grain. Stage by stage, the seed grows. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as the farmer sows his seed, he can't control how that happens. But he must trust that it will happen and wait with confidence for the harvest to come. And in the same way, Jesus says this is what is happening as his words, the seed, are sown in the world. As the farmers, our job is to scatter the seed, but our job is not to make it grow. Like the farmer, we cannot control how or when Jesus' words will grow. And so like the farmer, we've got to entrust that to God. We've got to entrust the growth to God and wait with confidence for fruit to come. And so this means as we share the gospel with others, whoever they are, we need to remember that we have no control over how or when or where the fruit will come. As we explain God's words to others, wherever that happens for you, we need to remember that the power to make those words grow does not lie with you. Although we must work hard to sow as well as we can, to be clear, to be engaging, to help people to hear, we must remember that the progress of the word does not depend on us. People aren't saved by methods or creativity or by effort. They're saved by God as he brings the growth. And so be encouraged. Whether it's in your family or whether it's in your home group, whether you speak to students, internationals, children, or the retired, wherever you are sowing the word, Jesus calls you to entrust the growth to him. It's good news that we are powerless to make it grow, because the word is where the power is. The word is not weak. And so keep on sowing, because as you sow the word will grow. The harvest will come. And so the farmer can't control how the seed grows, but he also can't understand how it grows. Look again at verse 27. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. And although the farmer knows that if he sows the seed will grow, he doesn't know how that will happen. He can't explain how the seed that he buried in the ground becomes a stalk that rises out of the ground. He can't understand how that stalk in turn becomes a head that's full of grain. He just knows if he plants the seed will grow. And he's got to trust that it will, because for much of the time, the farmer sees nothing happening. As the seed is buried, he sees nothing. As it sprouts underground, hidden, he still sees no harvest. And as the stalk pushes above the surface, even then he's got to wait for the grain to be formed. As the farmer sows his seed, he can't understand. He can't see how it grows, but he must trust that it does and wait with confidence for the harvest to come. And again, this is what happens when Jesus' words are shared. And isn't this our experience? As we share the gospel, it's so hard to see how God is using our words. As we teach others week by week, it's so hard to measure the impact that those words have on their lives. As we bury seeds in the hearts of people who hear, so often it looks like nothing is happening at all. But this parable encourages us that when we don't understand how God's word is working, we can be confident that it is working. We don't need to understand how God saves to trust that if we share the gospel, he will save. We don't need to see visible fruit to know that his word is working. But we must trust that if we build our ministry on it, it will work. And even if on the surface it looks like Jesus' words are doing nothing at all, we have no idea what God is doing below the surface. And so we must trust that it's never a waste of time to share Jesus' words with anyone, even if it looks like it produces nothing. And to encourage you that's true, I want to share the story of a man named Luke Short. Perhaps you've heard it before, but Luke Short was born in Britain in the 17th century. And later in his life, he emigrated to America. And one day, an old man aged 103, Luke Short, was making his way down the street. And it was hot and he was tired. And so he stopped to rest in the shade of a bush. And as he sat down to catch his breath, he began to reflect on his long life. As he thought back, something in his mind triggered a sermon that he had heard before in England at the age of 15, 88 years before. And as he thought about the sermon, the seed sprouted. It began to grow, and Luke Short became a Christian. And when 3 years later he died, on his gravestone was written this: "Here lies a babe in grace, aged 3 years, who died according to nature, aged 106. Now the preacher, preaching 88 years before, had no idea what his message was going to do. He's probably dead. Well, he's definitely dead. He had no idea. He didn't understand. He didn't see. But God's words worked long after his life in the heart of Luke Short. And in the same way, as we share God's word, whether it's at church or at university, whether it's with strangers or with friends, we have no idea what God is going to do with them. We have no idea what we're doing, and we don't need to understand. And so Wherever you're sowing, Jesus calls you to entrust the results to God. We don't need to understand how. We don't need to see. We just need to trust. Because like the farmer, if you sow the seed will grow. And as one of the ministers here before, Andy Gamble, used to say, seeds are growy things. He used to say that a lot. That's what they do. You put them in the ground and they grow. So let's keep on sowing. Because as we sow the word will grow and the harvest will come. So we've seen that Jesus calls us to entrust the responses to God. He calls us to entrust the growth to God. But third, as we sow Jesus' words, we need to entrust the results to God. And we see this in the third parable. This time, a parable of a mustard seed. Let's read it again. Verse 30. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." In this parable, Jesus compares the mustard seed to the mustard tree. And someone at the end of the first service asked what a mustard seed looked like. So I got some pictures of what these things are. And Jesus is comparing the two things together. Now, to begin with, before it's planted, the mustard seed looks like nothing. It's a bit bigger on the screen there. But it's tiny. So small that if I had brought one along, you wouldn't be able to see it. It'd just be there, a millimetre big. Insignificant. A small seed that you could just lose like that and never find and forget about. Vulnerable. Eaten by a bird. Blown away in the wind. It's nothing. But verse 32, Jesus says, "Yet when planted, it grows." That little seed grows to produce a tree. And not the smallest, but the biggest of garden plants. And I'm told that mustard seeds can grow into trees that are 6 meters wide by 6 meters tall. They're huge, from a tiny millimeter seed. And that small and insignificant beginning becomes a huge tree. No longer vulnerable to the birds of the air, but providing shelter for them. The tree at the end of this parable could not be more different from the seed at the beginning. And Jesus tells us this story to show us what happens when his words are shared. And this time, the seed is not the word, but the kingdom. But the two are connected. As Jesus' words are shared, the kingdom grows. And what those words produce is hugely significant, because they grow and expand God's kingdom. And just like the mustard seed, Jesus says, to begin with, this is what the kingdom of God will look like. It will be small. It will look insignificant. It will appear vulnerable, pathetic. It will look like nothing. And that's exactly what it did look like. Because as the kingdom of God arrived, it didn't come in a show of strength, but a display of weakness. As the truth Jesus spoke led him to the cross to be killed. And on that Good Friday, as the king died, it looked like the mustard seed had been lost. But it wasn't lost. It had been planted. Because like the mustard seed of verse 32, when it planted, it grew. And on Easter Sunday, as the seed sprouted, as Jesus rose from the dead, from that day, the kingdom has grown and grown and grown. Beginning with the disciples, continuing with the church, God has grown his kingdom as the gospel of Jesus has been preached in the world. And from that small seed, a huge tree has been produced. A tree that has steadily grown to encircle the globe, offering shelter to people from every nation under heaven. A tree that's pushed out its branches into every corner of society, welcoming princes alongside paupers, slaves alongside rulers. And a tree that has established its place in history like nothing else, enduring the heat of persecution, standing the test of time, and standing firm whilst nations rise and nations fall. From a seed that looks small and insignificant, God has brought huge results. And as Jesus' words have been sown in the world, the kingdom has steadily grown. And the kingdom will continue to grow as we go on sharing his words with the world. And we must believe that this is true. Because so often from where we stand, it doesn't look like it is. When the impact of Jesus' words looks tiny, when the progress of the gospel seems so small, and when our role feels so tiny and insignificant, we need to remember that the kingdom has grown, it is growing, and it will continue to grow until Jesus returns. And so as we share Jesus' words here in Beeston in 2017 and see slow progress, as we're tempted to be discouraged when from our perspective it looks like nothing much is happening, we need to broaden our horizons and see what God is doing. That no matter how it looks here and now, for 2,000 years the gospel has borne fruit, has been preached in the world. That whether we see people saved here or not, across the globe the church is expanding. And in some of the hardest places on earth where it's most opposed, it is exploding. Whether it's us who brings in the fruit or others who brings in the fruit, God is growing his kingdom as Jesus' words are shared with the world. And so when our role looks small and when what we can do feels insignificant, we need to remember what we're part of. That when we share Jesus' words, we are taking part in the greatest building project that this earth has known. And the significance of what we do is not in the results that we get right here, right now. It's in the results that God is bringing across history and geography and eternity. Our small part contributes to something huge, as God is growing a mustard seed into a mustard tree. And so, as you share Jesus' words, wherever it is, however you're doing it, whether it's with the kids before bed, whether it's as you prepare a home group study, whether it's a group at church or a conversation with a friend, colleagues or strangers, whatever it is, as you share Jesus' words with others, that work always has dignity. It always has value. It's always significant. Not because of the results that you see as you do it right now, but in the fact that it's kingdom work. Done for the King. And as we share Jesus' words, trusting in him for the results, we can be confident that his kingdom is going to grow. And we might not be able to see how, or measure how, or correlate how what we did grew the kingdom in these ways, but we can trust that it will grow as we entrust the results to God and keep on sowing. And so this morning, maybe as we're feeling discouraged, Jesus calls us to trust the work to God. The responses are in his hands. The growth is in his hands. The results are in his hands. And all we need to do is to keep on scattering the seed, because that's how God works. And as we keep on doing that, let's remember that the day is coming when the sowing is going to stop. There's a day when Jesus' words will have done their work in the world, and the time for sharing is going to end. And on that day, when the King returns to gather in his harvest, the kingdom will be complete. But as we wait for that day, and as that day draws nearer, then if Jesus is our King, these parables urge us to go on laboring to sow his words, wherever God's placed us, and whoever he's put around us, however we can, whether we feel weak or strong, to go on doing that job. Because on the day we see the harvest, we're not going to regret one word that we shared, no matter what response it got, what growth it produced, or what results we felt like we brought to God. We'll not regret one word. But if, as that day approaches, Jesus is not your King, then these parables are a warning that the harvest is coming. A day of judgment is approaching when the King will return. And if he's not your King, then that day it will be too late to enter the kingdom. The time is now. And so this morning, Jesus calls you to listen, to have ears to hear, to receive the seed of his word that when planted in you can give you life. And like the mustard seed, to come to him, to find shelter. Shelter from God's anger, shelter from his judgment, as you come and find yourself in the kingdom. And so this morning, if you're sowing, keep sowing. And if you're not, come to Jesus and find shelter in his kingdom. Let's pray as we close. Our Father, thank you for the confidence you give us in your words. Thank you that these words are not made up and not just motivational speech. They are solid, firm, trustworthy. They're the words that we can build our lives on. And Father, we pray that we would do that. Please, Lord, give us the ears that hear Jesus. Ears that don't just listen and discard, or listen and let it slip, but listen and hold on. And Father, we pray that as we listen to Jesus and hold on to his words, you would give us confidence to go on sharing them with others. And please, Father, as we sow them in the world, help us to entrust the work to you. But please, Lord, would you grow your kingdom? Would you bring people to believe? And would you make the seeds grow? Help us to do our part, and help us to trust you to do your part. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and for his glory, and for the growth of his kingdom in the world. Amen.